good morning, church. You guys doing okay this morning? I am so excited to be with you. Hey, have a seat for a sec. We're going to, if you got in without a bulletin, raise your hand. One of our awesome servers would love to bring you one. Announcements, sermon notes on the top. On the bottom is a place for prayer requests. If you're new with this, name, phone number, and address would be awesome. On the back side, a place for prayer requests. We're starting a new series today, and I don't know that I've ever been that excited about a series as the one we're starting today. We're going to talk about prayer. It's going to be so much fun. We're going to do battle together, and I just believe we're going to grow because I believe Jesus at his word. Do you? Right? So we're going to learn some stuff today. We're going to discover some things over these next weeks. Is there anyone in here that doesn't need prayer this morning? Right? Okay. So we got something in common to start with today. Okay? We're going to take a moment, we're going to pray, and we're going to ask God to bless our time together. So please join me. Father God, you are good, and you are holy, and you are perfect, and you are powerful, Lord. And we just ask, Lord, first of all, to remind us of all those things we're thankful for this morning. All the things that you do in our lives, even now, Father God, you've given us a building that is warm and a building that we're not being rained on. And we were able to come to church, Lord, without being persecuted against. And you've given us your word and you've filled us with your Holy Spirit. We are thankful for those things, Lord. And we just ask for forgiveness when we forget. When we forget those things, we whine, Lord, and we complain for what we don't have instead of being thankful for what we have. Thank you for your grace is abundant, Lord. We pray, Father God, that you would do mighty work today in our lives and the lives of others that we're sitting next to. We pray against the enemy that you would shut his mouth, Lord, and keep the distraction in bay that he tries to run. And Lord, we're here expecting you today, knowing that you are going to be with you, because you're a God and you're aware that God keeps promises about your power, and nothing is too big for you to tackle. So we come before you with our hearts bowed before you, submitted to your word and your power. We ask, Father God, that you will see your visions. We pray all of this in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Just take a moment, say hey to the folks around you, if you would. Maybe meet someone new.
Come and wait among us. bit with that one. Give you glory and praise this morning. You are great. We shout our praise to your glory, to your heavens, Lord. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for exactly who you are, that you are our Abba Father, and we can come before you this morning. We can give you praise. We can sit at your feet. We can just talk to you, Lord. We just love you in your Son's name. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord, I'm too old for this, but you are good. And we just worship you and praise you. All those things we just proclaimed are true, Father God. They're true about you, your kingdom. We just ask that your kingdom would be unleashed today, Father God. And you and your Holy Spirit would move among us. And you would do something just worthy and mighty of your name. We love you, Jesus. We pray all of this in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. The media team put together a What's Happening video to tell you about what's coming up these next couple weeks. Please watch with me.
I'm Nicole, and this is Christian, and we're going to tell you what's happening this week. It's going to be marvelous.
Next weekend is RLMSV's 10-year anniversary. Come join us as we celebrate what God has done in and through our church. October 31st is our Harvest Festival at Pinehurst Elementary. Our theme is Once Upon a Harvest Festival. Come join us for a night of family fun. As always, we're looking for volunteers and candy donations to make this event happen. Please see Amy at the Connection Point. Sunday, November 5th is our 101 membership class. Come find out what it means to be a lifer. No pre-registration is needed, but if you do request childcare, please request it by November 1st. November 21st is the Real Women Thanksgiving Potluck. Come join other women and celebrate what we have to be thankful about in our lives while learning more about God and fellowshipping together. Sign up at the Connection Point today. Real Life Food Room is asking for donations. Please pick up a couple extra shelf stables while you're at the grocery store. We're always in need of proteins, shelf stable side dishes, canned goods, hygiene products, such as extra deodorant, toothbrushes, and toothpaste. If you have questions, please contact Christy. Parents RL Kids has resources to help you parent your children more purposefully. Please stop by and pick up some today. And that's what's happening.
Very cool. So our church is 10 years old next week. That's crazy, right? I'm not barely that old. It's hard to believe that all of those things that have happened in the last 10 years. So we're going to celebrate that next week and invite you to come be a part of that. One of the first outreaches we did as a church was we teamed up with the Pinehurst Lions Club and just served them over at Pinehurst Elementary with a harvest festival. Actually, I think it was a Halloween party is what they called it in those days that they started. And it was a chance for us just to come alongside some people in our community that were already doing things to serve people. We just wanted to come alongside as an ally. And that's where the harvest festival started. Last year, we served about 750 people at that event. And there were a number of people that had an opportunity to hear the message of the gospel. And we're even getting a little bit more intentional in that this year. So here's a video to kind of remind you that that's coming up next weekend and how you can be a part. So watch this.
Once upon a time, 10 years ago to be exact, in the land far, far away, Real Life Ministries set out on a quest to minister to their neighbors. They weren't quite sure what to do, but knew something was needed. With Halloween quickly approaching, they realized this would be the perfect way to reach the community. The pastor made an announcement to all the lifers asking for volunteers and candy. Lots and lots of candy. They partnered with Pinehurst Kingston Lions Club and called this event the Harvest Festival. There were games, prizes, contests, and candy. Lots and lots of candy. Everybody felt loved and accepted and had such a great time. They agreed to continue the Harvest Festival every year. At the same time, there were other ways the church was serving the village. They distributed food and finances to those who had need, but the supplies was getting low. Dun, dun, dun! So, they asked for canned food donations at the Harvest Festival. The lifers soon realized that it was hard for the children to carry food and all their candy. Lots and lots of candy. So this year, they decided to offer pizza dinner and use the proceeds for the food room. It was quite certain that everyone would have a marvelous time and live happily ever after with candy. Lots and lots of candy.
That's an awesome video. This is Amy Walsh, our Real Life Kids leader, and Nicole Kessler, who's her wingman in setting up this Harvest Festival this year. They're going to tell you a little bit about what's going on.
So, like Jean said, I am Amy, and I am the kids' ministry leader here, and this is...
I'm Nicole. Just Nicole. this year, October 31st is fast approaching, and we still need a couple things for Harvest Festival to make it successful. We've organized it a little bit differently. We have 10 teams, and the first thing we really need is volunteers. We have two teams especially that are short on volunteers, and that's games and security. So we have two game rooms for the elementary, one for the elementary, one for the preschool age kid. If you feel like you can run a game and hand out candy, we need you. If you feel like kids and games aren't really your thing, we still really need security. So we need some responsible adults that can keep an eye out and make sure that it's a safe event. If scheduling is a problem, if you have kids or work or whatever, please come talk to us after service. I think Amy will be out here by the table. We can work with your schedule. We can tag team it. We can be flexible. So don't feel like that should hold you back.
So this year we are giving each volunteer a t-shirt. So this is the design for the t-shirt. Richard helped design them, and I think he did a really awesome job. So if you see him, make sure to thank him for all the hard work he did for that. This is our way of saying thank you to every volunteer. You can pick up your t-shirt at Pinehurst Elementary on October 30th, starting at 5 p.m. during our setup time. I will be there handing out the t-shirts. And then if you can't help that night, we could still really use candy, lots and lots of candy. So just go out to our candy bowl, drop some candy in there. If you guys can't and you're not able to go and buy candy because you just don't have time, go ahead and fill out on your little envelope saying this is my candy donation and put some money in there, and I will go buy the candy for you. So don't make the kids disappointed like the Kessler kids are right there.
That's awesome.
And I will see you guys out at the table. Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice work. Yeah, they've got a lot of stuff going in. Get to serve a lot of people every year. And this is an opportunity for us to dispel one of those weird rumors that Christians don't know how to have fun. So what I heard was, if you like kids, run a game. If you don't like kids, be security. Are we all together on that? Bring lots and lots of candy. Yeah. I saw that video and I just told Amy, I said, I see a theme going through this video. She's like, are you just picking up on that? I said, yes, I am. So it'll be fun. And just so you know, no special, they let me run games. So they let anybody run games. It's fun. It's a good time. If just be willing to do that and step out on a limb, maybe to be a part of that. We're going to continue our worship this morning and the giving and receiving of our offering. And in turning in those connection cards and prayer requests, we are grateful for those that get turned in every week. And I understand it's a huge step of faith sometimes in a couple things to give. And I'm grateful that we have so many in our church that give sacrificially, but also to turn in those prayer requests. So we're just going to pray for that right now and ask God to bless our obedience in that. Lord God, we love you. And we thank you as we get to come before you, Lord, and acknowledge that everything we have comes from you, that you are a good God and you're generous. And so we ask, Lord, that you would make us generous as you are, that you would even be turning our hearts toward this next weekend with our anniversary. Help us to remember some of the cool stuff that you did in our church and in our community through this church over these last 10 years, God, the good things and the things that were difficult. But we got to grow in our relationship with you through the hard stuff. I pray, Father God, that as we give financially this morning, that you would multiply everything and give us wisdom on how to use it to impact our community the best way for you. As we turn in prayer requests, I pray, Father God, that we would submit them knowing that there are others that will enter God's throne room with us and speak to the mighty God who is powerful enough to affect the situations we're praying about. Father God, as we prepare to sit into your word, I ask that you would speak with authority and that we would respond to you. We would learn something new today, and we would act on that, Lord. Just take steps of faith. We trust you, Jesus, and we pray all of this in your mighty name. Amen. Just ask the service to come forward and receive the offering this morning and those connection cards. So we had a wedding yesterday, and it was one of those John Larson and Stephanie Rushton got married here yesterday. And it was one of those days that it just made me so stinking proud of our church. John and Stephanie, well, Stephanie and her mom have been a part of this church since, I mean, probably over nine years. They've been a part of Real Life and have been in different women's groups together and home groups and things like that. And it came to the wedding day, and there, Stephanie and her mom, Sherry, didn't have very many people to help. They weren't quite sure who to ask. So a couple of their friends, Ruth and Dee, saw all of that going on, and they were trying to be respectful because Stephanie and Sherry had invited some other people from outside the church to do some decorating. You know how that is. But they wanted to be really cool for them. So it was so much fun to see them yesterday as they're trying to be super respectful of the family, but they really want to serve their friend. And they just did it in such a good job. They just did an amazing job. So if you see Dee or if you see Ruth today, they may be home sleeping. I think Dee maybe greeted you at the door this morning, though. Just give them a hug and tell them what a good job they did. I think they were such a testament to who Dee's in the very back. They were such a testament to a bunch of people that don't normally come to church on what Jesus looks like, as they just loved people and served their family. It was so good. So thanks, Dee. I appreciate that. So families share family burdens together. And we have a burden this morning that I want to present to you. Gary Dodge wanted me to share this with you. His grandson, Bryce, passed away Thursday. And this is difficult for grandfathers. And so a couple things that I invite you to do, and he invites you to do. He would covet your prayers for him this week as he is dealing with the grief of a grandfather, but also as he knows that God is calling him to minister to his family, to bring that ministry of reconciliation to a family that is a bit fragmented. And we know, if you've walked through it before, that the weight of grief can cause more fragmentation. And Jesus came to bring reconciliation and redemption. And so Gary covets your prayers and asks that you would pray for him and pray with him this next week. And we're going to do that right now together as a church family. So please join me. Father God, we lift Gary and we lift Bryce's family up to you, Father God. And we ask that you would minister to them, that you would bring healing of hearts that are grieving today, but also, Lord, of past hurts, that this would be a time that you would be able to use all of these things for your glory and the good of your people. I ask, Father God, that during this time, people would get an opportunity to see you, maybe for the first time, or with fresh eyes, and they would see your grace, and they would see their need for that grace, Father God. Draw them to know you. Be with my friend Gary. Give him strength, Lord. Comfort him, and show us how to do the same thing as his family. We love you, Jesus, and pray this in your name. Amen. Thank you. As I said earlier, we're starting a series on prayer this morning, and I believe that this series has the potential to impact generations of Silver Valley residents that haven't even been born yet, as God works through you in this area of prayer. How many people in here this morning have a smartphone? I'm not going to ask you to turn it in or turn it off or anything. It's okay. Okay, a number of people. I think I read that there's like, I don't know, mobile phones have impacted 98% or something of the world's population right now. In some third world countries, it's easier for people to have mobile phones than it is to have landlines. And it's fascinating to me because I come from a background of mobile phones, and I worked for Sprint for a while, so I was in that climb towers. I was in that industry for a while. It's been fun to watch the evolution of phones. You know, we've got the iPhone 9 now, I think, and then you know iPhone 8, 7, 6s. We've got big screens and bigger screens that are out there now. We've got Androids and Samsung. Some companies have made their whole in the business on phones. Anyone remember Motorola StarTax? Right? Okay. Remember, you know, the Razr, the flip phones, you know, you'd flip it open just so you could look cool. You'd be pretending like you were talking on it just so people would think you were, and that may just be me. Remember mobile phones that you would put in your car and wire them into your car? You'd spend like $1,000 and then the phone would ring and the horn would honk. The year my daughter was born, I was on the road. I was on the road 11 months the year she was born. And I was up in Boundary County putting in their 911 system. And I was up in Newport, as a matter of fact, building a tower. And my wife was due. It was July 3rd. And she was ready to go into labor at any time. So I had hourly plane reservations with Alaska Airlines that would go forward every hour. So if she went into labor, the theory was we were going to drive very efficiently to Spokane International Airport. I'd jump on an airplane, fly to Seattle, and hopefully at the nick of time arrive at the hospital to catch my daughter. That was the theory. So every time the horn in the truck would beep because of the mobile phone wired in, you'd watch these tower rats sprinting to the truck. Praise God she was born the 4th of July when I actually happened to be home. But, you know, I mean, some people, some of us still have landlines at our houses, right? And, you know, so the political people can give us calls. People we don't know can call us and pretend that they know who we are. Some of you, you remember, you know, push-button phones with the cords. So if you were talking to your girlfriend in seventh grade, I can't stand still and talk. Some of you may have noticed that. And so I'd get done with the conversation, and the cord that was 19 feet long coming from the cradle would end up balled up like this, right? And my roommate would just look at me like, dude, really? And he'd have to hold it and wait for it to unspin. Remember rotary phones? Yeah. Remember party lines? Yeah, party lines. You know, if you picked it up and nobody knew, you could hear their conversation. Yeah, some of you may be mature enough to remember when it took two hands to make a phone call. Some of you remember these phones, right? I remember when you discovered how amazing it was that you could have a conversation over a string. Yeah, but here's the thing about phones. It's all, what are phones built for? Communication, right? Phones are made so that we can be heard and so that we can hear one another, because we're built for that. We've got a lot of different high-tech forms now. You know, we've got Facebook, which is actually just a different form of communication. We've got FaceTime. We've got, I don't know, Snapchat, Insta, doo-doo stuff that we do. But what's it all about? Communication. That is what prayer is. It's communication. But we've turned it into this weird thing. As followers of Christ, we've turned prayer into a number of different things, you know. For some of you who maybe have been in the church a long time, maybe you were like raised in the church, prayer has become like this habit, or even a lack of habit. It's become this duty that you kind of check the box every day or every evening, and when you don't do it, you feel kind of guilty, okay? There's very few people in the church. I'll ask them, hey, how's your prayer life going? That they're like, hey, my prayer life's good. You know, Jesus wants me to shut up. I talk to him so much, right? Very few people feel that way. I've had a lot of conversations these last couple weeks about people with prayer. And I've asked them the question, what hinders our prayers? What keeps you from praying? It's been fascinating to me how people have answered. Here's anonymously, here's some of the answers that people have given me that I wanted to share with you because maybe you can identify with a couple of them. So one of the answers was, well, I fear of being rejected when I pray. I fear of not knowing how to pray. I fear being exposed. Because we were talking about praying both quietly ourselves, but in groups. And I'm afraid people will find out what I'm praying about. And I don't know that I trust those people that are around me. Maybe someone has used your prayers against you in the past. I'm afraid that they'll hear how shallow I am because they pray with all these flowery words and I don't know how to do that. Some people don't like talking in front of other people. I don't want people to know what's going on in my life. Who do I pray to? The Father? Do I pray to Jesus? Do I pray to the Holy Spirit? I want to make sure I don't want to make God mad by praying to the wrong part of the deity. What gives me the right to pray? Why would God even listen to me? Or I tried prayer and God didn't give me what I asked for. And it wasn't a selfish thing. It was actually a good thing. And God didn't answer that prayer, so why should I bother? He's either weak or he's small, or he doesn't care. Or I struggle to find time to pray. Or sometimes people are praying for me and it feels like they're pushing their agenda on me. Are they praying or preaching? Brother, my sister, you need to do this in her life. And what if that's not what God wants to have happen anyway? Or people using prayer to gossip, praying about other people. Or I feel awkward going up and asking someone for prayer because I feel like I'm trying to make it all about me. Or I'm just not really sure what to pray about. Can you relate to any of those things that were in that list? I think many of us could relate to a number of those things. As we enter this series, though, I want to pose a question to you. What if prayer is something more than an obligation or a spiritual duty or something that makes us feel awkward in front or with other people? What if instead of taking all of our hopes and our dreams and our plans and our strategies and kind of dipping them in the pool of prayer, what if prayer was actually the strategy for us to live in this broken world as loved children of God? What if prayer is actually the answer to that? We get a little bit Pentecostal on some of you, so you may get a little bit uncomfortable. But what if there's this, here's the deal, there's this power that Jesus talks about regarding prayer in the Bible over and over again that makes us a little bit uncomfortable. It's called the power of whatever. And what if we could actually tap in? That's what I'm calling it anyway. What if we could actually tap into that power that Jesus says is available to us in the scripture and experience a life different with him in the future than the one that maybe we're experiencing today through prayer? These next 7 weeks, I'm hoping that we're going to dig through some stuff together. We're going to discover some things. I'm already super challenged about this series. There's some topics that are teed up for me to preach about in the weeks coming up that I don't really know that I want to preach about that. But the elders are encouraging me to, we're going to learn together through this. But I think there's some stuff that this series is going to do for us. So here's what I want to encourage you in. These next 8 weeks, because we're taking next week off to celebrate our 10-year anniversary, these next 8 weeks, come to church. We got 3 services open for you. We've got the podcasts, okay? Those are good. But they do not replace coming together in community with your church family the way God designed it to wrestle through some of these things about prayer. Here's the other part. If you've got questions about prayer, that kind of that list I just read, you're like, you know, but what about this? Send them to me. Text me. Give me a call. Drop them by the office. My email address is gjacobs@rlmsilvervalley.com. Okay? send me your emails. I would love to look at those, and we'll see if we can fit them into this series as we go forward together. So I want you to look at a couple of passages this morning with me. We're going to talk about discovering the power of whatever. Okay? So look with me. We're going to go to the book of John and read some things that Jesus said. We're going to start in John 14:12. This is Jesus himself speaking. Here's what he says. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing. And they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. If we stop right there, does that challenge anyone else in this room? That's Jesus talking. And he says, if you believe in me, you will do the works that I've been doing. What kind of works was he doing? Right? He was doing amazing things. He was healing people. He was feeding people. He was ministering to people. He was bringing life to people, right? He was doing some powerful, incredible things. And he says, if we believe in him, we will do those same works. And he says here, what? We'll do even greater things than these because he's going to the Father. Now, let's follow this up. Look what he says. And I will do, look at this, whatever. See that word, whatever? I looked it up. You know what it means? Whatever. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Let's go to the next scripture here. John 15:7. This is Jesus speaking again. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, right? And it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Let's go a little bit further. John 15, verse 16. This is Jesus speaking again. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever, right? What? Come on. Let's be a little interactive this morning, okay? It's Sunday morning. I know you're tired, but come on. Let's pretend like it's Friday night for just a second, okay? And he'll ask, oh, that was glorious. Whatever you ask in my name, he says, I forgot what verse we were on. He says, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. John 16:23-24. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. So that's the book of John. Let's go to 1 John towards the end of the book. Same apostle writes this. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. First of all, do you get that? We can approach God with confidence through Jesus Christ. That's his words, not mine. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. Now, those are amazing passages. And you read that, and you read that whatever thing. And it's funny, because some of you, Friday night particularly, one of the cool things about our church is that we have a lot of people from different backgrounds in it, okay? One of the difficult things about our church is we have people from different backgrounds in it. So we've got the Pentecostals that read those passages, and they're like, oh, amen, brother. Yeah, let me find a forehead to hit. We got the Baptist sitting in the room saying, oh, come on now, there's got to be a catch, right? I did that Friday night, too, and I think I made them all mad. So I'm both. But it's like when you read those passages, you're like, that's too good to be true. It's like the radio commercial where they give you that really good deal, and then what comes on right after the radio commercial? It's the guy that talks so fast, you can't really tell what he's talking about, but he's saying something that's really important. The only words you can really hear are certain restrictions apply, right? That's kind of what it feels like with prayer. Because we read those things and we look and see what happened in the book of Acts and the power that was unleashed through prayer. And we're like, okay, Are we just not praying right? Are there some things that aren't going on? Is there, you know, I've heard people come up with lots of different reasons on why we don't see God working in powerful ways in our lives when we pray. And I think part of the problem is it's how we've defined prayer today. Or the lack of significance, the lack of priority that we've given it in our lives. I mean, I talked to a ton of people these last couple of weeks when prayer is not the first thing that they go to when something's going on in their life. It's the last thing they go to when nothing else has worked. Well, I might as well pray. And so I think the experience of prayer has been manifested that way in our lives because of that attitude. So one of the things that I see in Scripture is prayer is one of those ways where the upper story and the lower story, we see it come together more than any other place in the Bible. Now, last week I introduced these two terms to you, upper story and lower story. It's another way of talking about heaven and earth. We use those terms a lot. We talk about the fact, I talked last week about the fact that the lower story is where it's the life you and I experience every day. It's the life that you experience today. It was the rain that fell on you when you were driving into work. It's the things right now that you're worried about that are in the back of your head. It's maybe the conflict that you had this morning with that person on the way to church. Maybe it's that ache that you have going on. It's those things. It's our sin. It's part of the lower story. The things, the disappointments, the unmet expectations, all of those things that make you cynical and make your heart critical, that's all part of the lower story. But there's another story going on at the same time, and this is the upper story. And there's too many people around us that don't know that this story is going on. This is a story that God has been the author of life, the creator from eternity past to eternity future. This is the story that God is completely sovereign over. This is a story that talks about the fact that God has an amazing plan for his people. This is the story that sin entered into and rebellion entered into. But in the midst of that chaos, God said, I have a plan to redeem this situation. This is the story that Jesus is the hero of, where he came to bring us back into right relationship with God the Father. This is the story that has the happy ending in heaven forever and ever. Amen. For those who love God. Right? There's this story. It's a beautiful story. But there's too many people that live around us that all they see is this story, this lower story. And in prayer, I think it's the most powerful place where we see the two stories come together. And you and I have a part of that. But for that to happen, for the lower story and the upper story to connect, and for us to experience what it means to walk as a loved child of God in a broken world until we meet God again, when we're reunited in heaven, we have to have an active prayer life. And I say this word active for two different reasons. One, as the verb, we need to be people who pray. But the second way I'm using this word is in the form of an acronym. If you look at your sermon notes, you'll see an acronym. Some of you know the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S, right? How many of you were taught that acronym in the church you grew up in? Okay, ACTS, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, Supplication, right? Okay, and that's a form of prayer. This is a little bit different. Many of the letters represent the same thing, but we've added a couple components to it. So A is adoration, C is confession, T is thanksgiving, I is intercession, V is victory, E is expectation. Okay? You with me? These are all on your sermon notes. I want you to take those sermon notes home and use them this week. Okay? So let's go through this acronym a little bit and talk about prayer. It starts out, this whole acronym that we're talking about, it starts with adoration. When we pray, when we come to the Lord, we start out by adoring who the Lord is. You guys know that song? We're going to sing it here pretty soon. Come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. You guys know that song? Yeah. It's much better when we all sing it together. Okay? Okay, but it's an important song, right? So here's the thing about adoration, okay? Do you know what adoration means? It means to be smitten. Right? It means to be smitten. It means to talk about how great a person is. God tells us over and over again to be reminded of who he is, right? So when we're adoring God, when we're doing that in prayer, here's what this is all about, man. This is about us calling out the character attributes of God. God, you are all powerful. God, you are almighty. God, you are just. God, you are a creator. God, there is nothing and no one like you. God, you are sovereign. God, you are good. God, you are trustworthy. God, you are amazing. Right? Are you with me so far? Now, there's a rule when we're spending time adoring God. Here's a rule in this. You ready? We don't put ourselves in that conversation. It's not about us. All about God. Now, here's what's happening when we do that. A lot of people struggle. Is God worth praying to? When we take what the Word of God says, the revealed Word of God, what God has told us about Him, okay, and what we've experienced about Him, and we say that back to God, it's reminding us that the one we pray to is worthy of praying to, and he's big enough to handle our situation. Are you with me? It's establishing him in our hearts who he is. Okay? Second part, C, confession. Confession. This, oh, by the way, that whole, if we're going to talk upper or lower story, and I think we ought to, that whole adoration piece is all upper story work. Okay? We're just putting ourselves and even acknowledging before us that there's an upper story in play right now, because it's really hard to get caught, easy to get caught down in the forest of our lower story where we can't see beyond the trees. Anyone ever get there? I've got so many problems. I can't see beyond my problems. Oh, that's right, God. You exist above all of that. Okay. C, confession. This is where we go to God and confess our sins. Okay, now, a couple things about that. First of all, you ever have one of those prayers that you go to God to confess your sins, but you're hoping he doesn't find out about that one? Okay, a little hint, he already knows. Okay, he already knows. Here's the other part. That word confession, you know, in 1 John 1:8-9, it says this. It says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, and by the way, this passage is written to believers. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That word confess in the original language, what it means, it's more than just telling God what you did. It's asking God to show you how he sees your sin. A little bit deeper, right? And how he sees your sin affecting others. And so we go to him in confession. Lord, this is what I've done. Lord, this is what I'm afraid of. Lord, this is what I doubt. Lord, help me to see it the way you see it. Help me to see how the blood of Jesus affects that sin. Help me to see how the power of the Holy Spirit affects that sin. Changes things. When you're able to see your sin the way that God sees your sin, I believe that's that step towards life change. And now this is all of the stuff, man. This is that all that junk, right? Those, even that critical heart, right? Those unmet expectations you got. Lord, it's yours. Show me how you see it. The second one, by the way, that's all lower story work. That's all this stuff, right? Right here. The third one, ACT, Thanksgiving. This is where we thank God for all of the things that we know came from him. Now here's the challenge with Thanksgiving is we want to start with Thanksgiving, don't we? And we've been trained to do that. Lord, thank you for everything that you've done. I have that tendency. I do it every time. Okay, so I'm actually trying to train myself to be a little different. And here's what happens, I think. Here's why having Thanksgiving as third is more important. Because we adore God, we confess sin. So here's what we're doing. We're acknowledging the one I'm praying to is worthy of praying to. He can do something. I'm confessing my sins to him. You see what we're doing? We're getting all that junk out of the way. So now I can go deeper in my conversation with God. You with me? Thanksgiving, God, these are the things that I know came from you. I know this came from you, Lord, and I'm saying thank you. Here's a couple of things that this does for us as we pray this out. First of all, if you know when you go to God in prayer that you're going to have a time of thanksgiving, you're going to start looking for things to be thankful for, right? I do this with my staff every week. Every staff meeting, I start by saying, what are the win stories that we have this week? Where did you see God at work in your family, in our church, in your friends and the people that you minister to in our community? Because if you start celebrating those things, you'll start looking for those things and you'll be amazed at how much God is at work, and it will change your heart toward him. You'll find yourself much more content. Because you see, I have so much to be thankful for. I start being more grateful for what I have instead of ungrateful for what I don't have yet. You with me so far? This is where we take the lower story and we lift it to the upper story. We lift it to the, that's right, God, this is from you. You are powerful. We're also acknowledging God's presence in our lives. Okay, A-C-T-I, intercession. Okay, this is where we pray for ourselves, but more importantly, I think, it's where we pray for others. It's where we pray for others. This is where we take the heaven and ask it to come crashing down into earth. This is where, as you read through passages, we have got so much. We work with God in this situation. We're partners. We get to partner with God as we pray for people. This is where we ask God to release his power in the circumstances around us. This is where we invite God to put us into that story. This is where, you know, we have a tendency to pray for material things. Lord, heal Aunt Edna. Lord, provide food for that family. And those things are important. But I'm going to ask you to take a step higher and pray for the spiritual things that are going on in those situations also. Because there is a spiritual battle going on. There are spiritual things that are happening in this world. So, you know, like, Lord, I want you to be glorified in this person's life. Lord, I want this person to see their need for your grace. However you choose to do it, God, would you put your kindness on them and bring them to repentance? Lord God, I believe you can heal this person. Would you heal them? But however you choose to heal them, I trust that your way is best, God. Would you show me, Lord, who you are? I need you today. And I realize today how much I need you. This makes sense to you this morning? Intercession. A-C-T-I. Adoration. Confession. Thanksgiving. Intercession. This next one, V, this is victory. This is victory. And so here's what we're doing here. This is where we are praying for Jesus to do battle against Satan regarding the situations that we're praying about. This is the spiritual warfare piece that maybe we don't talk about enough. And I want to be super intentional as we talk about this. But Ephesians 6 says this. I'm just going to read this to you really quick. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God that you may take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle, hear this, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, right? So there is a battle going on, right? I'm not a demon behind every bush guy, but here's what I know. There are things that I have seen happen in this world, right? That sometimes I attribute to sin nature. We cause most of our problems. But there are things in this world that are so evil, the only way that I can explain it is that we have an enemy who prowls around like a lion looking for those he can devour. And if we're not engaged in that battle, acknowledging that it exists, but also acknowledging the power of Jesus Christ in that battle, we're dead meat. Because that enemy is doing everything he can to destroy you, destroy your marriage, destroy your kids. He hates you. And so when we're praying in this victory piece, it's when we're inviting Jesus into the fight. And Jesus is a champion who doesn't know how to lose a fight. He always wins. You with me? Victory. Victory. E, expectation. Expectation. This is the last part of the acronym. It's where we pray expectantly for God to allow us to see Him answering our prayers. My wife was at the sower earlier this week picking up some stuff. And she was talking to one of the ladies that worked there. And I don't know how my wife does this, but she can like be in the line at the grocery store and someone will come up and tell them or tell her their complete life story. You know, and all of those secret details that they would never tell anybody, they tell my wife. I'm like, how does that happen? I said, they tell me to get out of their way. And they tell her everything. So she's at the sower talking to this lady, and she starts talking to her about prayer. And pretty soon this lady says, you know, one of my big struggles with prayer is that I pray and I pray and I pray. And I'm sure God answers his prayers because he's faithful to his word. But I never look to see where he's actually answering. Some of you have a book of prayer requests, but you don't have a book of prayer answers, right? And so here's what this is. This is where we ask God to help him see our work, his work in our lives. God, I'm gonna pray this. And we're going to talk in a couple weeks that sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says wait. Sometimes he answers prayers in the ways we don't see them, right? And so, God, help me to see where you are at work in my life. Help me to see your goodness in my life. Help me to know, God, that you're here and that I can trust you, because my faith gets stronger that way. And when I'm praying, Lord God, and I can share those answered prayers with others, you know what that does in the family? It increases their faith also, right? You with me? Adoring, adore, confess, thanksgiving, intercession, victory, expectation. Okay? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray together this morning. We're going to pray. This is much better. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do this together this morning. It just struck me that there's a time that we pray as individuals, and there's a time that we come together as a corporate family and pray. And we're going to do some of that corporate praying together. We're going to talk in some weeks to come about how cool it is, how God works oftentimes through the power of agreement as believers come together in agreement when they pray. And so we're going to do that a little bit together today. We're going to start with adoration, adoring God. So here's what I'm asking you to do. I want you to get a one-sentence statement about God that's adoring him. So, God, you are mighty. God, I praise you. God, you are so powerful. God, you are so good. Get something in your brain. You got it? Okay, because you're going to say it out loud. Okay, I better get something else, right? I better really get one, okay? Okay, and then here's what we're going to do. I'm going to say, Dear Heavenly Father, I'm going to bow my head, because when royalty comes into the room, we bow our heads. I'm going to bow my head. I'll say, Dear Heavenly Father. Then together, we're going to say that sentence out loud. Okay, you ready? All right, Dear Heavenly Father. You. That was good. That was cool. Okay, let's move on to the next one. Confession. I'm not going to make you say this out loud. like, good, because I'm going to have to think of something really small to confess, because I don't want everyone to know all my stuff, right? But here's where we get an opportunity in confession. Because God says we pray together, but he also says there's a place to pray in our prayer closet alone. That's what we're doing this morning. I want you to think of a one-sentence thing, of something that you want to confess to God. Maybe it's a besetting sin that you just can't get control of. Maybe it's something new that's popped up. Maybe your heart is just hard towards someone and you can't fix it. Maybe you're hypercritical about something this morning. Maybe there's doubt in your relationship with God. Maybe you've been walking a different path and you know it's wrong. Opportunity for you in the quietness of your heart to just confess this before him. So I'll do the same thing, dear Heavenly Father, and then we'll confess. Dear Heavenly Father, okay, good, good. Now we're going to go to the next one, Thanksgiving. This is that opportunity to take something that you know came from God and thank him for it. Okay, now this is where we say, God, not only are you good, but you're good to me. This is where we get to see that and remind ourselves. We're taking the lower story and lifting it to the upper story. So get something in your mind that you want to say thank you for. We're going to do this one out loud, one sentence. And again, I'll lead us, dear Heavenly Father, and then proclaim that to God. Ready? Dear Heavenly Father, God, this morning. Good. I love that. The next one, victory. Now, I'm going to have you do this one quietly this morning. Because if we did it out loud, this is where it could get rowdy. Right? When we're doing battle against Satan, it could be violence instead of victory. But this is that place. This is one of those places to remind Satan of what God's word says about him. Remind Satan of the empty tomb. Remind Satan, because he's a liar, right? And he tries to lie to you. Remind Satan, speak it out loud when you're praying, about what God says, okay? So get one thing in your mind. We're going to do this one quiet and in our hearts. So I'll lead us, and then we'll pray this. Ready? All right. Dear Heavenly Father, okay, good. When's the last time you actually prayed against Satan? There's power there. There's power there. Here's the last one, expectation. This is where we invite God to help us see where he's at work and to help us look for his answered prayers and where we can join him in the answer to prayers. And sometimes where the answer to a prayer is God directs us. So we'll do this one quietly also. I'm going to say, dear Heavenly Father, we'll bow our heads and then just pray a short prayer of one sentence of expectation. Ready? Dear Heavenly Father, good, good. Here's the thing about this, okay? I know for some of you this morning, you're like me, that you rebel against rules. And so even hearing this acronym is really hard for you. It feels like I'm trying to box you in. I'm not trying to do that for anybody, okay? This isn't the only way to pray. This is maybe a way to pray. I encourage you to try it. I encourage you to try it with those in your small groups and your families, okay, to teach your kids how to pray. Because here's what I know is the acronym that I'm offering you this morning is better than the prayers you're not praying right now. I just know that. I also know that as we go through this acronym and we see all of those different points that we address in our prayers, that there's just something powerful as heaven and earth come crashing together and the power of God is released. Look at the scriptures and look at what it says about how God works through the prayers of believers. I dare you. There's power there. It's God's power. We get to be a part. So I invite you to do that. Here's the thing. As we look forward, as we celebrate our 10 years, and we look forward to the next 100 years of this church, what could happen if the hundreds, maybe thousands of people who call Real Life Ministries Silver Valley at home at some level became people of prayer? What could happen in our church? What could happen to us as individuals if we actually started to see and look for God at work, and we acknowledged that that came from God, and we thanked Him for that work? And when we became people that actually got a good handle on who our God is, as we adored Him consistently, as we confess our sin and experience the forgiveness of the blood of Jesus and the regeneration that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit, what would happen to us as individuals? What would happen to our marriages and our families and our church family if we would go and intercede and storm the gates of heaven for our brothers and sisters that are struggling when they're not able to? And when we would go to God, not get our hearts right to go to God, but go to God to get our hearts right. What would happen in our church and our families, our community, if we became people who did that? I think the potential of God's power that we read about in Scripture being unleashed on this community, I don't think there's a limit to that. And I think some of us today are even afraid to dream such dreams. But I think that's what the Bible says is possible. So that's what we're going to fight for. That's what we're going to discover. That's where we're going. I want you to know that our elders and our staff will be on their knees interceding for you, interceding for us as we journey down this path together. I can't wait. I can't wait to see what happens. We're going to continue our worship this morning by getting our hearts ready to take communion together. If you're new with us this morning, we have an open communion table. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, we invite you to take the cup and the juice, a cup of juice and the little piece of bread as it goes by, and take one of each. And we take those, and what we're doing is we are saying thank you to God and acknowledging and remembering that Jesus Christ has come to bring salvation to us, forgiveness of sins. So while they pass out the elements, I just invite you to spend some time with God. Whatever you want to talk to Him about this morning. Thank you, Lord. I'm grateful, God. Thanks. Thanks for loving me. Whatever that looks like, spend some time doing that, getting your heart ready, and then we'll take those elements together in just a moment. Thank you. as we consider prayer this morning, here's a little passage I want to share with you from the book of Hebrews. It says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And today we are remembering and thanking God that approach to God, that access to God is only granted because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that our high priest, Jesus, is alive today, making intercession at the right hand of Father for his saints. Paul was with the church in Corinth, and this is what he wrote. He said, I received this from the Lord that I passed on to you, that on the night the Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and after giving thanks for it, he broke it and said, this bread represents my body given for you. Remember me as you take it. And after supper, Jesus took the cup and said, this cup represents the new covenant between God and you, sealed by the shedding of my blood. As you drink it, remember. Let's take together. Please join me as we pray. Father God, we thank you for sending Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the access we enjoy to the Father through your shed blood. We thank you for the power that mercy and that grace represents, the power that you pour into our lives, the goodness of your character that is on display in and through our lives. And we pray, Father God, we would be people who would take you at your word, and we would come into your throne room, and we would talk to our Abba Father, who is good and powerful, and that we would look to see where you're at work. Jesus, we trust you. Comfort those who need to be comforted this morning, and give strength to those who are weak today. Do your work in our hearts, God, and make us pliable in your hands. We love you, Jesus, and we pray all of this in your mighty name. Amen. So someone told me that a song is sometimes a prayer that's prayed with a little bit of rhythm. And so we've got one more opportunity to pray to God this morning. So we're going to play a song, and I think this song's pretty appropriate for who God is. So I join you to stand and sing with us. If you'd like to be prayed for, there'll be a couple people in the back that would love to pray with you this morning. Yeah. That's who that God is that we pray to every day. That's the power that he has, right? Do you believe it's true? Yes. I hope we discover that as we journey through this together. Pray for one another, okay? Lift up your neighbors. Come to church. Stand in the gap for other people. There's power there. Join me as we pray this morning. Father God, we love you. We just come before you. We acknowledge you are King of Kings. You are Lord of Lords. And you are good. I pray for those today, Lord God, that are just struggling. They doubt that it's true. Maybe they sit in judgment over you, God. I pray that you would break their hearts. I pray that you would show them that not only are you powerful, not only are you good, but you're good toward them. And they would see their need, Lord, for redemption. They would see their need for a Savior. They would see that all of their needs can be met in you, God. And you would give them faith, and they would grow in that faith. Their hearts would be redeemed, and relationships would be restored between you and man, and between man and man, and families. That you would do a transformative work in our community. That we would see the miraculous life change before our very eyes, God, of a king that's at work. That you would keep Satan away, Lord God. That you would remind him that he belongs in hell, that he has no authority and no power here, God. That we are your people. We are the temple of your Holy Spirit. And greater is he in us than he that is in the world. We believe that that's true, God. We ask that you'd help us to walk, Lord God, as people who believe that it's true, that we would look to see where you're at work. We could look to see where we can join you, God. And we would remind each other of the goodness of our God. And we would tell stories about what our God has done. That faith would be increased in our community. That we would train our kids, Lord God, to look to see where God's at work, to join them in that. And it would affect generations that haven't even been born yet. That they would stand on the shoulders of the people in this room today, and they would see God more clearly in the future, and they would invite others to see him, and there would be people who would come to know Jesus because of the testimony of the people in this room. God, you are awesome. And some of these things that we pray for, I'm almost afraid to pray for them, God, because they're too great for me to even imagine. But I know that you're a God of the impossible. And so we come before you and we proclaim that you are all powerful and mighty. And we just lift our burdens to you today. We pray all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Say hey to someone this morning. Go to Harvest Festival table. Sign up to run a game. Love the church. The glory to the Lord.